Goals for our series. If you're new or newer, we've been doing this series. Now we're on number 11. And 11, I believe we have two more to go, and then we're going to be doing a brand new series on the second coming of Christ. And I know that that will be a blessing to all of us as well. By the way, February 1 to 4, evangelist Randy Chauvin will be with us. He's been with us many, many times before. He'll be preaching all day Sunday, the 1st, and then Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, 7 p.m. over on Wedgwood Street. All of you are invited to come and be a part of that. February 1 will be here, but then 2, 3, and 4 will be over there. And I'm praying that God would use him once again in a tremendous way. His wife's name is also Grace. So it's the night for Grace tonight. We have Grace Kim, we have Grace Chauvin, and we have Grace over at Madison Care Center. If your name is Grace, thank you for coming. We could have another Grace, all right? But we thank God for his grace anyway. That's the greatest grace, isn't it? The grace of God. So there's four goals for this series. We've mentioned them each time. I'll mention them right now. To find, number one, to find the treasures of darkness that God has for us during difficult times in life. That's the goal number one. Goal number two, to understand that our great comfort is in the presence of God, not the absence of trouble. Number three, to see that God allows things in our lives to prepare us to be what he desires for us to be. Number four, to trust the Lord during days of darkness, knowing that God has a perfect understanding of the past, the present, and the future. So those are the four things that all of these lessons have been talking about. Now, lesson number 11 is passing through the Valley of Baca. The Valley of Baca, a day in his presence. And there are five aims for the lesson tonight. Number one, to learn that God has packaged our lives into days, and that every day is a gift from God. And sometimes we get ahead of God, don't we? And we start thinking about the month or the year or whatever. Let's just look at the day and say, thank God I have today. Number two, to understand that God provides all that we need for each day, even the days of tears and sorrow. God is the God, his name is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. Three, to be reminded that we will face nothing in life that is greater than our God. Four, to live each day in the presence of God, exercising our personal faith in him. Number five, to include prayer, the Bible, and thankfulness to God in our lives each day. So the theme verse for tonight is that verse that we read earlier this morning, as well as tonight, Psalm 84:10. As we consider this psalm, Psalm 84, we find that it is a psalm about how we need to worship the Lord. And I'm so glad that as sinners saved by grace, we can worship God even in our frailty. And that's not about us when we worship God, it's all about God. But thankfully, we can do that. God has created us in such a way that we cannot live as we should unless we have communion with God. Think about that. God did not create you, and God did not create me to live independent of him. He created us to live dependent on him. And you know, that I find that in life, as we get to a place that many times we know what we're going to do, we know how we're going to live, we know what job we're going to take, we know we're going to go this way, we've got it all planned out, but God is up in heaven saying, hey, wait a minute, have you forgot about me? I made you, I created you, I saved you. If you're a Christian, you're saved, according to the Bible, the word saved there in the New Testament, you're saved, and God is saying, do I not get any say in what you're doing in your life? And boy, God deserves every say in what I'm doing in my life. I don't deserve to call any of the shots in my life. I need to go to God. And so we need that communion with him. And I ask you this not to have you answer it out loud necessarily, but to really think about it in your heart. Do we have a time of communion with God every day? Of God speaking to us. How does God speak to us? The number one way God speaks to us is through his word. So do you have a time every day? Do I have a time every day in his word? And then how can we speak to God? That's called prayer. Do we have a time of us communing with God and Him communing with us? And it goes both ways, and God wants to not only hear from us, but He also wants to speak to us through His Word. In this psalm, it begins with a picture of people that are on their way to the tabernacle to worship. Kind of think about, I know it's not exactly the same, but think about it tonight. You got in your car, or you got on the bus, or you got somewhere, and you began to make your way to 322 Hospital Street, and we're glad all of you made your way here. And I hope and pray that the number one reason you came was to hear from God. I hope you didn't come to hear from Pastor Turner, because I have very little to offer. But this book right here has everything you need. This book right here has everything I need. And so when we come to the house of God, we come so that we can hear from God by His Word, but so we can also, as we sang one hymn tonight, we normally sing another hymn, but as we also have our time of worship back to God, one way we can do that is also in song. Notice in verse number 6 of this chapter, they are moving toward the tabernacle, they are praising God, but notice what it says in verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. Who passing through the valley of Baca. This means a valley of tears. It means a valley of sorrow. I'm sure everyone here tonight understands what tears, we have tears of joy, yes, but in this case, it's not really talking about tears of joy. It's talking about tears of sorrow. That's what this meant, this valley of Baca. And we all have times in our life where we pass through this valley. And maybe it happens multiple times. But I'm so thankful that even when we're passing through the valley of Baca, we are not deserted by God. For He says in the New Testament, Hebrews 13:5, He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we have the promise of the presence of God. When we come to this valley of Baca, we could say this as well. It is a valley of brokenness. And by the way, it's not a bad place to be. In fact, it's a very good place to be. To be broken. To be humbled. Because when we are broken, when we are weak, we realize how strong God is. When we decrease, then He increases. So this valley is not a place to try to stay away from. Now, nobody likes to think of sorrow and brokenness and saying, that sounds like a great time, I'm going to head over that way. I don't do that. So don't think for a minute the pastor's going to sign up for it. But when it comes, we need to say, God, You put me here for a reason. Far greater than my plan, God, You have a plan for me that is of greater value than anything I could ever come up with for myself. And when we are there, as we said earlier, God promises to meet all of our need. He promises to take care of us in this valley of sorrow, this valley of tears. God's ways are not my ways. God's thoughts are not my thoughts. But His ways and His thoughts are far superior than mine, and I can trust Him to lead me through the valley of Baca if He chooses to take me there. Then I can say, God, You are good, You are faithful, and I want to see what I can learn in this time. So even in times of sorrow, we worship God. We don't just come to God and worship God when all the bills are paid, health is perfect, everything's just working out, all the boxes are checked, okay, now I'm going to worship God. No, that's not how it works. We worship God when none of those things are checked off. Because God is faithful, God is good, and God is over all, and I'm so thankful I'm not in control, and you should say amen to that. You're thankful I'm not in control either, okay? And I would say that about you, okay? I'm glad God is in control because God does everything good. Wow, I don't do anything good. The Bible says there is nothing in me that is good. But with Christ in us, wow, praise the Lord for that. Notice in verse 10, our text that we've been reading from, the psalmist says, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Think of this, spending a day in the presence of God. So how can we, basically what we're talking about tonight from Psalm 84 is how to make every day the most productive, how to make every day and get everything out of it that we possibly can. And we're going to look at three things tonight. So if you're taking notes, maybe you want to write these down. If you have the booklet, you're making notes in there. First, we have to come to the decision, number one, that each day is a gift from God to us. Today was a gift. January 11th, 2026 was a gift from God. And if you get up in the morning and you wake up in the morning, then January 12th is going to be a gift from God for you and for me. Every day God gives us as a gift. That means if it's a torrential downpour, it's a gift. All blue skies and sun, it's a gift. It doesn't matter what is happening. Remember, one of the main points of our lesson is we're not trying to get away from the absence of trouble. We just want to, we don't know that the presence of God is there. And I can tell you the presence of God is there every day of your life. God is not running away from you and me hiding. He's revealing himself. Question is, are your and my eyes open? Right? So we want to have our eyes open, recognizing. Flip over to Psalm 90, please. This is the psalm that Moses wrote. Psalm 90. So more than likely, that would make it probably the oldest psalm. That would only make sense based on timeline, because we know that Moses and David did not meet this side of heaven. And so theoretically, we could say it's the oldest psalm. But look at Psalm chapter 90, please, in verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years, so we have days, and now we have years, as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. It's interesting, we just mentioned this verse last Sunday morning, I think it was, or maybe it was last Sunday night. I know it was last Sunday, that's for sure. And now we're hearing it again. We actually heard this verse at the young adult retreat as well. So this is 3 times in 8 days for us. God is trying to tell us something, right? I mean, 70, right? 70 and 10. If by reason of strength they be 80, that means 80. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. Everything is there within our days. Strength, labor, and sorrow. But notice, for it is soon cut off, we fly away. I already talked about that last week, so I had to keep moving. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days. With God's help, let's not waste a day. Now, I can tell you right, I've already wasted some. I don't want to dwell on those, but I want to think about right now. It's a gift from God. I don't want to waste it. That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our what? Days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. Make us glad in affliction. And the years wherein we have seen evil. And we'll stop right there. At the end of our lives, we will want to retrieve days we have wasted, but we know that is impossible. And we want to limit as much as we possibly can. You know, I think about from the time we got saved, maybe that would be a good time to mark it, right? Because before we got saved, we didn't know the principles of the Word of God, and we didn't know things. And yes, obviously many of those days were wasted in our lives, but we can't focus on those days, but we know we're saved tonight. And so even if we think about it, that even in 2025 of those 365 days, possibly some of those 365 days weren't spent properly. So let's not cry over spilled milk, as they say, but let's go ahead and learn from that, and let's take we got 354 left in this year. Let's number these days. Let's guard these days that we might bring honor and glory to God, and might we thank God for the day. So as we consider a day, here's several things under number one within our day, and these are going to be repetition, but repetition is the key to learning. Within every day, there should be time for prayer. Every day, every day, every day, every day. By the way, you don't have to stop, go into a closet to pray. Now, you ought to have some time like that. What I mean is the closet literally is saying somewhere where we have absolutely no distractions. I don't think you literally have to go into your closet unless you've got a big closet and you could fit in there. I think we need to go places, though, and pray sometimes where it's quiet. But we don't have to only have those times. Sometimes it could be the hustle and bustle of a day, and we really, right where we're at, we've got to stop and we've got to talk to God. By the way, we can enter into God's presence in the name of Jesus no matter where we're at. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. We ought to do more of that, by the way. So there must be time every day for prayer. Secondly, there must be time every day in the Word of God. If you're going to say, God, this is a gift from you, then we're going to spend time praying. When do you spend your time praying? I'm not asking you to answer me. Just do you have a time? There's no only set time, but there ought to be a set time. Then there ought to be any time during the day that it's wide open. And then also, when do you have time in the only book that God has ever written? When do you have time in the Bible? And then the third thing, every day there ought to be a time for thanksgiving. Being thankful. That's part of prayer, but it's not really prayer because prayer is asking. So really, thanksgiving is separate from prayer. It's thanksgiving. It can be in our prayer time. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to get you hung up on that. But there ought to be just some times where we just go into an unbelievable, sporadic, I'm so thankful, God, for your grace and mercy in my life. I'm so thankful that you gave me a Bible, you gave me Jesus Christ, you gave me a church. I'm so thankful that I have a family in the church that I can fellowship with and pray with. God, I'm so thankful for your holiness. I'm thankful for your goodness, all of his attributes. I'm thankful that you are right all the time. Thanksgiving, every day, prayer time, Bible reading time, Thanksgiving time. Why? Because every day is a gift. I did not earn my life today. God gave me the breath to breathe today. Without it, I would not be sitting here, and neither would we, neither would you. So it's a gift. Many people could be living pleasant lives, but they are holding on to something that happened one day, and it is bringing sorrow into their life every day. We don't need to go back into the past and grab sorrow and bring it into the present. We need to let God handle whatever that is, and enjoy the day that God has given us. Every day is a gift from God. Number two, we're talking about how are we to live every day. Getting everything out of it that we can. Every day is a gift. Secondly, God gives us what we need for every day. God gives us what we need for every day. Would you go to the great shepherd psalm, Psalm 23? Please, Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the what? Days. So every day when you get up, God's goodness and mercy are waiting. When you leave the house, just think of it this way. They are following you. When you go into the hospital for a medical checkup, they are following you. When you're going in for a meeting of some kind and there's a lot of pressure and it's maybe on the job, and surely goodness and mercy, they're following you. You cannot find a time in your day as a believer when they aren't following you. They aren't following me. This is a promise that we have from God. And what greater promise is there than knowing that God's goodness and God's mercy are with us every step of the way? This is truly all I need for every day, to focus on this. Let's read verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So there's nothing else to want, right? He's our shepherd. What else can we want? He gives us his mercy. He gives us his goodness. What else can we want? Really nothing else. And I'm glad that I can tell you tonight, and you can be reminded, and we can be reminded, that these things are available for each and every one of us. He is our shepherd. He is our good shepherd. He is our great shepherd. When someone is going through a challenging time, it's natural for us to say, I know what you are going through. Now, that might be true, but many times it's not true. We don't know what they're going through. Because even if it's the same thing that maybe I've gone through or you've gone through, everybody responds differently. And so I'm not saying don't ever say that again. I'm just saying maybe use caution when we say things like that. But here's something we could say. We could give them, we could show them that God is going to give them what they need for their day. I may not understand what your day involves, but I can show you something in the Word of God that God says here as a born-again believer, the mercies of God, the goodness of God, they are with you every step of the way, every day of your life. This is something to focus on, that God gives us what we need for every day. Number one, each day is a gift from God. Number two, God gives us what we need for every day. Lastly, number three, let's go to Matthew 6. Please, Matthew 6. Number three, God is greater than anything we will face any day. God is greater than anything we will face every day. Verse 28, right here in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, 38. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Can you see those lilies out there growing in the field? They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon was the most, the richest man alive, and yet the Bible says he didn't have what the lilies had. That's a powerful thought right there. If you've never really let that sink in, Jesus is preaching this message, by the way, and he's saying Solomon had nothing compared to the lilies. Wherefore, if God, verse 30, so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, this is every day. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, you could underline all these things, and you could draw a line up to verse 31. This is all these things. Drink, eat, clothing. Daily needs is what he's saying. There isn't anything that God will not and cannot supply. All these things shall be added unto you. And then the most challenging part for me, at least in reading this every time, is this next statement. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't be thinking about Monday yet. It's still Sunday. And then on Monday, don't be thinking about Tuesday. Don't be thinking about next. Don't be thinking about February. Well, I got plans for March. How about we stay right in January 11th? You know, I mean, we got a plan. I'm not saying that. But if we let our mind go too far down the road, it's impossible for us to keep up. And what ends up happening is what Jesus said will happen right here. You think Jesus knew something? I think he knows everything. It's called omniscient, all-knowing. Because he said, here's what will happen. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. You don't have to take tomorrow and bring it in today. He said, sufficient. That's a word you ought to really think about there. Sufficient unto the what? Day is the evil thereof. In other words, there's enough going on today for us to trust God for. We don't need to try to bring in Monday and Tuesday into today and trust God for Monday and Tuesday. When we get up tomorrow morning, if God allows us to get up, then we say, okay, God, today, this is a day. It's a gift, right? And we go back through these three things. We spend time in the Word of God. We spend time praying. We spend time thanking Him, and we recognize that, God, you're going to give me everything I need for today. I'm thankful that I can know at the end of today, I'll be able to look back, and I'll be able to say, goodness and mercy, are you still there? And they're going to say, yeah, we're still here. Because they'll be with you every day of your life. They'll be with me every day of my life. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There is enough to deal with each day. We do not need to borrow trouble from tomorrow. Maybe you've heard somebody say something like that before. Here's something I've done before, and I don't want to make this mistake often or ever again. We can ruin today thinking about what we have to do tomorrow. Especially as we come into the Lord's Day, I think that's the one that we really ought to guard the most. Every day is a gift from God, but think about it. This is the Lord's Day, and God has designed it where we would have Sunday school classes and preaching and fellowship with the family of God, and if we're bringing in everything from later on, this is, by the way, the first day of the week, not the end of the week. This is the first day of the week, and we're going into the rest of the week, and we're bringing it into the first day of the week. It can almost rob us of something that God has for us during a service or a class or even fellowshipping with one another. So every day must be guarded, but I really believe that we should really and truly guard the Lord's Day. Who knows what a day may bring forth? We can count on the fact that we will face nothing in a day that is greater than our God. I'm sure there's been some days in your life where you go back in your mind's eye and you think, that was a really tough day. That was a really tough meeting. That was a really tough information I was given. That was very challenging. And I'm sure there's a lot in your life and mine, but I want you to know once again, rest assured, there's nothing greater in your day that God cannot help you and help me with. God is greater than anything that would come into our day. Where do we come to understand all of this? Where do we come to understand it? Let's go back to our text verse. This is how we come to understand this truth. Psalm 84. Psalm 84, 10. I'll read it. You can read it quietly there in your seat. For a day in thy courts, for a day in the court of God is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. I'd rather be holding the door for people. We might look at that as kind of a menial task. But he's saying, I'd rather do a menial task in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of what? Wickedness. You see, we have a choice. What kind of day do we want to have? Really, I think it boils down to what he's saying here. Our day can be as a doorkeeper in the courts of God, and what's coming out of that are blessings. And yes, it doesn't mean everything goes away, but blessings and encouragement, or what comes out of dwelling in the tents of wickedness is the antithesis of that, the opposite of that. And we would say we would never want that. But again, it comes down to what will we choose to do. We can count on the fact that we will face nothing in a day that is greater than our God. And when we come into the courts of God, and when we come into the Word of God, and when we spend time in our prayer, we will realize this. We will recognize, I got to show you one more verse, sorry, Ephesians 3. Well, I'm not sorry to show you another Bible verse, but look at Ephesians 3 quickly. You've read this verse before. If not, it's a good one. Here's what we're going to recognize. Ephesians chapter 3. When we're in the courts of God, we're spending time in His Word, we're giving the day to Him, we're trusting in Him and not leaning on our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He'll direct our path. Then we recognize Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able. This is what we're going to come to find out when we're spending time in the court of God, that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So tonight, maybe you're passing through this valley even right now. You're passing through this valley of tears, sorrow, heaviness, brokenness. Again, it's not bad to be broken. In fact, it's good for us to have our will broken. Because when my will is broken, then God's will can come to fruition in my life. But when I have my will still intact, God is not going to overrun me with his will. He wants me to yield my will so that his will can come into play in my life. And there's no greater will for your life than the will God has and wants to use you in his plan. And as we see this, a day in thy courts, as we come into the work week, the school week, whatever else is coming in your week and my week, we don't even know all that's coming. Yes, I have things on my calendar for the week. I'm not saying don't plan, don't schedule things. But I can't worry about those things. I must get up that morning and say, God, this is your day. You've made it. I want to rejoice. I want to be glad in it. So I yield this day to you. Please take me wherever you're going to take me, because I know goodness and mercy are coming along. They're right on my tail. They're following me wherever I go. And that's for you too. A great promise from the Word of God. I'm going to pray.